Michael is a longtime advocate for regenerative agriculture and works closely with growers focused on soil health, biodiversity, and long-term ecological stewardship. He is Nutrition Initiative Chair at the Global Wellness Institute, a former director of the Highland Springs Resort in Los Angeles, and a graduate of the University of British Columbia. Michael, it's good to see you. Thanks for joining us on the T-Biz podcast.
Dan, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to introduce regenerative agriculture in tea to people who have never heard of it and to go a little deeper for those who have had an intro.
Michael, what does regenerative tea farming mean in day-to-day practice?
So it's a little too vast to go into all the details, but from our field level, what I can tell you is that it really starts with what we don't do first, right? So no irrigation. All our tea trees are watered by rainfall, so no synthetic inputs. So no shortcuts that trade long-term soil health for short-term yield. And that's kind of like counterintuitive, right? So our trees on Jeju Island were planted from seed 25 years ago into volcanic soil. And so we left them to find their own depth. And so day to day, what this means for us is resisting the urge to intervene. But on our farm, our farmers make it a mandate to let nature lead the land as it was designed. So to make a clear distinction, most conventional tea farming optimizes for harvest and yield. Regenerative farming optimizes for the conditions that make harvest possible decades from now. So it's really a long-term vision.
One of the striking ideas here is that regenerative farming often begins with restraint rather than intervention. No irrigation, minimal disturbance, letting the plants interact naturally with its environment. Why is tea naturally suited to regenerative agriculture?
That's exactly it. And then the key component to all of this is when you allow nature to grow and cultivate the teas, my question to everyone is, logically, don't you think you're going to get a better tasting, better quality tea rather than someone who puts all these synthetic inputs in using petroleum-based fertilizer, like synthetic chemicals? So regenerative agriculture is really about going back to the basics.
What changes are happening below ground in regenerative tea systems?
So tea as a perennial is actually very well suited to regenerative principles. So, for example, the root systems run deep, especially if you plant by seed instead of transplant by cuttings. The taproot is going straight down into the soil. So some of our trees are 30 feet. Imagine 30 feet deep roots, right? Imagine what it's doing, pulling up the minerals and the flavor from the soil. And then there's the, you mentioned it just a little before, but it's the canopy that creates its own microclimate below. And you're not tilling every season. So what translates naturally are things like biodiversity, very important in any ecological context, right? Minimal soil disturbance. So we're not messing with the microbiome. We're allowing it to thrive underneath our feet. And then you have, like I mentioned before, a long-term horizon. So it's not everyone just looking for short-term gain and extracting from the soil. It's really a long-term horizon that benefits everything on the land, including the farmers, right? So, and I would say that the challenge is that the conventional systems were engineered for more uniformity and yield and volume, but regenerative really asks us to welcome variability, like in leaf size, harvest timing, yield. So that's almost like a cultural and operational shift as much as an agronomic one. And I would have to say the toughest stuff that when I speak to other tea farmers is that anyone doing it the conventional way, almost you have to unlearn optimization.
Soil health is frequently described as the foundation of regenerative farming. What changes in soil management or cultivation practices are you experimenting with in these tea gardens?
So for those of you who have heard of or have been to Jeju Island, it's a volcanic island. So the volcanic soil on Jeju Island, it's already mineral rich. So we started with an advantage, And it's one of the reasons why we planted by seed. So the roots would go deep into the soil. And so the practice is to protect the soil rather than like extract from it. So no tilling, no synthetic fertilizers that disrupt the soil microbiome, allowing the leaf litter and the organic matter to build the topsoil naturally over time. And then we have the ocean proximity, which really matters, like the air, the moisture, the salinity. It actually flavors our tea, right? And then we think of the soil as a living, holistic system that we're actually participating in. It's not a medium we're managing. So that's the big mindset shift, right? And then the biggest shift, I would say, is the patience, where the soil health is measured for the long term, like decades, not like a year or like even seasons.
What evidence suggests regenerative systems remain productive over time?
So I would say the most accurate answer is time for me. So the first harvest from our trees took close to a decade because we planted by seed. But the trees are now more than like a quarter of a century old and they're producing. So we noticed that the younger bushes that were pushed hard early on, they often plateau or they decline. And that's where we learn, right? And then our trees are still deepening now. The yield per acre math looks different when you're measuring like a long-term horizon, as I mentioned before, versus short-term. So the real evidence that I would point to is root depth, which I told you before, like 10, 20, 30 feet deep into the soil, depending on the duration. And then the soil biology, which points to the health of the soil microbiome and how life is coming from the soil and contributing to the tea crop, right? And then the consistency of the leaf quality year over year without the synthetic inputs that we talked about earlier. So our land is getting healthier. It's not depleting over time. And that is really the greatest evidence because you can see it, you can feel it, and you can taste it from year to year. And when we go into scientific evidence, there are wonderful organizations like the Rodale Institute. They're like the father of regenerative farming here in America. And they are doing tests all the time. They have an organic, they have a conventional, they have a regenerative organic farmland next to each other. And they're constantly doing tests over the long term. And so now that they've been doing it for many, many, many years, there's very robust scientific evidence that regenerative practices actually yield on par or more than conventional.
If regenerative agriculture expands, how might tea estates measure success differently?
So the metrics really have to expand, like the yield per acre and cost per kilo. These are real things, and estates, we can't ignore them, right? But we're measuring the wrong time window. That's the key point here. So soil carbon sequestration, we just talked about biodiversity indices, water retention, worker tenure and well-being, community health. Like we're looking at everything holistically here, right? So these are the lagging indicators of whether a farm system is building or extracting. Right? This is what we all have to consider. So the estates that will be viable in 30, 40, 50 years are the ones measuring what they're leaving behind, not just what they're taking out. And that's what we're talking about here, right? So a strong, like purpose-driven framework is actually built around this shift from extraction metrics, which is the majority, to stewardship metrics.
The future value of tea may depend not only on how much leaf is produced, but on the long-term health of the land producing it. Michael, thank you for joining us on the Tea Biz podcast.
Regenerative farming is what's going to save the tea industry because it's going to maintain and preserve the value of tea. And you talked about it earlier, but what follows with that economic viewpoint is farmer livelihood and the longevity of a tea estate. So to me, the best way holistically to really elevate our industry, to really elevate it and maintain the value of our precious Camellia sinensis plant that's been around for thousands of years. We have to focus on soil health, regenerative agriculture, come up with a higher quality crop that people will have a reason to value better, more.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.